B-Pod Studios.
Welcome to Wrestling Inside the Ropes with James Stewart.
I'm the best. I'm the best in the world. I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company, and I've been vilified and hated since that day.
And Mike Sarge Riley.
I don't know if you realize it or not, but you're trespassing on private property. When you walk through here, through these ropes, you're in my yard. Bad things happen in my yard.
Wrestling Inside the Ropes.
Hello, I am Elias, and you're listening to Inside the Ropes with Sarge and Jay Stu.
This week, we have a new SmackDown Women's Champion, name you're all familiar with, at least for the 18th, for the 8th time. Not 18 yet, but we'll get there.
Close.
Why Raw had issues this week. Kofi Kingston is finally challenging for the WWE Championship against Daniel Bryan, and Mike and I will discuss our top five WrestleManias of all time. Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com and on the 98.5thesportshub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. And I want to open with a small shout out to what I would call a wrestling fan-friendly podcast, our friends at the New Age Insiders, and they are hosting a tailgate party, a WWE-sanctioned tailgate party on the grounds of MetLife Stadium. You can get more information at newageinsiders.com/tailgate. That will have all of your ticket information, and the money from that goes to Connor's Cure.
Yep.
So that is a good cause. They're doing good stuff. It is their fourth tailgate party, I believe. Who knows who you might run into at that thing. But I'm told it's a good time. I think actually, didn't you crash the one in Dallas?
I did, yes. And it was great to see Jason, Liam, and Bill, three great guys, and gotten to know. I mean, I've known Bill the longest of all of them.
Same.
But yeah, okay. So there you go. But I've gotten to know Jason and Liam, and just two good guys, and they're very talented at what they do. And that was our first show of 2019 with those guys right here on Wrestling Inside the Ropes.
Yeah, we did a State of Wrestling episode with them.
Maybe we'll have another one.
Yeah, I think we can make that happen. Maybe we'll do a post when we're in the midst of that WrestleMania hangover.
There we go.
We'll do another recap of WrestleMania with them.
Look at that. Look at that. Yeah. And maybe in the summer too, during the downtime a little, right?
But so. But they're good people, and they're doing good work, and it's a WWE-sanctioned event for Connor's Cure. So that is a good thing if you are going to WrestleMania in New York.
Yeah, put it on your list, and you know what? You get food. They have all the details here with the drinks and so forth, and just good people to be around, too. The whole wrestling community is great. And this is a message for everyone else, too, Jimmy. I'm going to get on my soapbox here.
Oh, please do.
Yeah, for people that, you know, take shots at the wrestling fans and, you know, using the F word, you know that it's F, and I'm not going to even say that. And how can you like that? You're an adult. You know what? If people enjoy it, you enjoy it. But the most important thing, Jimmy, we've said it before and I'll say it again, I've met great people through the wrestling events and being around them and interacting through social media. People that listen to this podcast, people that listen to the New Age Insiders. And they've actually become some of my close friends. And knock it all you want, but it's something, if people enjoy it, don't rip them, because you probably enjoy stuff that other people may not like what you do. So don't judge.
Well, and wrestling has brought me great lifetime relationships, Mike.
Yeah. So, brought us to great places.
Yes. So yeah. Wrestling holds a very important place in my life.
Absolutely.
So little unfocused to begin, but focused nonetheless.
How to get off the chest.
As much as I would love to lead with Charlotte and gush over Charlotte winning the SmackDown Women's Championship, I'm not going to. I'm going to make you wait for that.
All right, let's do it.
I have a lot of inside baseball stuff, quote unquote, I want to dig into as to why I think Raw might be having issues. But I want to ask you, Mike, how was your Raw experience this week? Raw was in Boston. It was at the TD Garden. We were there live.
So, you know, every time it comes here, it's just like, even any event for that matter, I always get up for it, and it's a real exciting thing. And, you know, really looking forward to the show going into it, as we are now less than 2 weeks away from WrestleMania, circled on the calendar for quite some time, and knew that it was probably going to be a special show because it's like the second to last for the go home before WrestleMania. And Boston being one of the staple markets of WWE. And I thought the open was really good. That beat the clock. Good pop with Ronda Rousey. Then you have Charlotte come out, and then Becky, all within a matter of a 5-minute span against the Riot Squad. Very good open.
Mike, what were the stakes in that match?
I'm sorry?
The stakes.
Nothing.
Because historically, beat the clock, you get something for beating the clock.
Right. It should have been like, I know that WrestleMania is a triple threat match, yeah, but you should have had it like, well, Becky will enter number one, or Becky will enter number three because she won, or Ronda will go. Yeah, I know that's not the rules of triple threat, but make it that way. Nothing. It should have. Okay?
So I like the match. I like how they set it up. I just wanted some stakes on the line.
Yeah, nothing. There was nothing. So, good open, though. After that, Jimmy, I mean, too much talking. I kind of felt like I was at a Patriots game. I totally forgot how long Raw is. It's 3 hours, yes. But it's like, with all the commercials, good Lord. And we're in the same suite as Mr. Cena, John Cena's father, and he made some great points, too. He's like, he just got sick of it with all of the commercial breaks. He goes, give me wrestling. It's like, you know what? You're right. It's just way too much talking, a lot of gap to fill, and they're not filling that hole. And it made me think, like, yeah, this is, you know, it wasn't the best show. Overall, though, I mean, I can't complain, but it could have been a better show.
So I felt like the women's segment was good, but I wanted stakes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I loved everything about Finn Balor. I'm happy he's challenging for the Intercontinental Championship. Samoa Joe versus Kurt Angle is something that I really, really wanted to like and love, but it's not 2006, which is unfortunate.
No. Well, at least
I actually, I actually called the finish too.
Okay,
you know. Angle rolls through on the sleeper,
At least they let Angle finish. He didn't finish in SmackDown.
Well, that's a blessing for all of us.
I know.
Which is unfortunate.
Yeah.
So here's some good. Yeah, well, go ahead, Mike.
I can just say two more things. I think there was a lot of anticipation, not just from wrestling fans, but that Rob Gronkowski was going to be there.
Oh, 100%. They played that up all day on the radio.
In the news, if you
they
watched.
Being us.
Yeah, it's true. And if you watched on the news, too, like, oh, is Gronk going to be there and everything? Now, you know, I got tipped off that he may have been backstage, but it was uncertain, wasn't going to be out in the show, then was told, no, he's not there, and you even confirmed he wasn't there either.
Mike, when I entered the building, the first thing I did was I texted somebody backstage, and I said, is Gronk here? And they said, no, but keep that quiet.
There you go. Okay, so, you know, I just kind of had a feel the whole time he was not going to be on stage and so forth. And everybody is saying he's going to WWE. Okay, he might be going to WWE, folks, but I'm going to tell you right now, we know that Rob Gronkowski has had the injuries and everything. He's not going to be in the ring on a full-time basis. It's not going to happen. The best you're going to see out of him, he is going to be the figurehead commissioner or the president of XFL. That's all it's going to be. That's it. Nothing. He's not going to be in the ring on a full-time basis. We know he's a fan. He likes Vince. He likes Mojo Rawley. That's all you're going to get out of Gronk. I guarantee it.
So he was at a charity event the other night for WWE.
Yes, he was.
And I wouldn't be surprised if he was in the Battle Royal at MetLife Stadium.
No, I wouldn't be shocked either. But I don't think it's going to be on a full-time basis here on out.
And he doesn't need to be.
No. So that was that. And then the other thing,
yeah.
I wish we saw, we should have had John Cena out there. That was your prime opportunity to get a great pop from the Boston crowd. Put him in the match with Kurt Angle and Baron Corbin and absolutely threw it away. Didn't even give it a chance. That would have been, the place would have exploded the TD Garden.
I think John Cena needs to be asked to do something with WWE. I don't think that has happened yet.
Which is sad.
I agree.
Yeah.
You have a huge star who wants to be a part of your company, and as far as I know, you haven't asked him to be part of your company.
And he's carried the torch for you for a good 20 years now.
And he'll be in the New York area. He's doing a book signing.
Yeah. Very. I don't get it. So.
So you want some rumor and innuendo, Mike?
Yeah, let's talk. Let's see what we got.
All right. So here's some rumor and innuendo for you and the people to chew on as to why Raw is an issue, or at least this past Monday night it was. You know what Vince McMahon was doing during the show at the gorilla position?
What's that?
Texting. You know what else he was doing? Laughing at his text messages.
You're kidding me.
He was laughing at his text messages rather than watching his show.
Wow.
So Vince McMahon is doing exactly what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, you. You driving around in your car. You, Mike Riley. Me, James Stewart. We were texting during Raw. We were playing on our phones. Our phones were more interesting than the program in a lot of instances that you were putting out there.
Except we don't promote the text and drive, though. Go ahead.
Mike, do you know what the difference between you, me, and the person who's listening to our podcast is? And Vince McMahon?
What would that be?
Vince McMahon can control it and change it.
Mm-hmm.
Vince McMahon can say, nope, change this, do this, do this differently. Yep. And he didn't. He just wanted to play with his phone and do what we do.
Yep.
Do what we do. Do you want to know who the producers for Raw were? The generals that Vince McMahon delegated to?
Let's hear it.
Jeff Jarrett.
Okay.
Abyss.
Ugh.
Jamie Noble. Daivari. Hurricane Helms. So we're creating TNA content for Monday Night Raw now. That's what we're doing.
Yeah, essentially. It's all the same lieutenants that they ran the show over
Mike,
there.
Mike, we're on the road to WrestleMania right now. Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
Why is SmackDown different? Why is SmackDown telling me better stories than Raw is right now? Why?
Because
I have been at Mohegan Sun, and why should that show at Mohegan Sun been at the Garden and not Raw?
If I didn't have to work last night, I would have been down there.
I would have too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here's another example, right? You know that Alexa Bliss, Braun Strowman, Saturday Night Live skit they did on Raw? Oh,
hate it.
You know they did that in rehearsal and it was bad. And you know what they did? They still put it on air.
Yep.
I could when I was told that it was terrible in rehearsal and they still went to air with it, that tells you that there's something wrong going on there.
Yep.
Would have never made it to air. That would have been rewritten or shortened, or they would have done something different if this company had WCW breathing down its neck.
And Braun Strowman's character, they've absolutely killed him. Ever since the Crown Jewel, absolutely have killed him. You know, like nothing. It's really disappointing. They've had so much potential with him, and he's now essentially just a big guy out there where they've thrown away so much with what they could do. You could make him a champion. You could make him in the main event, more or less. Nothing. You are throwing away talent. Put him. I hope for the sake of him, he gets put on SmackDown. I really do.
No, I don't want him on SmackDown. SmackDown's the good show.
Well, put him
don't
on there.
Don't ruin my good show. Let Braun destroy vehicles on Raw and just stay away from my good show. Well, I was having a discussion about how good SmackDown is.
Yep.
And
it's awesome.
They are a pro wrestling show. And this SNL thing showed you the difference between sports entertainment and pro wrestling.
Absolutely.
And I'm a 30-year fan. Mm-hmm. And I want to be entertained. Now I understand that for 3 hours you're not going to entertain me for all 3 hours. Mm-hmm. But you could give me more than three segments that interest me.
Absolutely.
Like, I don't think I'm asking too much. Nope. I'm going to my fifth WrestleMania. You're going to your
fifth
WrestleMania.
No, wait a minute. I'm sorry. Fourth.
It's not like we don't invest in the product financially or with our time, because our time is probably the most important thing that we can give. But you know what? Maybe the owner of the company can take his nose out of his phone during a show that he could make more entertaining and do something about it.
Yep. Yep. It's and the fact that here we are less than 2 weeks away from WrestleMania, you supposedly have the new fan faction or whatever the heck they called it there. You get to choose, which we're still waiting for our meeting on the conference call and everything. Promising so much here. Vince McMahon, here he is on Christmas Eve, dressed up as Santa Claus, saying, you know, making all these promises, which, you know, some things did come to fruition, but he did say, and I'm telling you right now, one of the things is that we're going to get more of John Cena in 2019. And I have not seen much of him at all. Yes, I know what with the Royal Rumble there, the alleged injury and so forth. But the bottom line is that why is your, one of your top stars of all time not on your top pay-per-view of all time, of the year? That is a slap in the face to John Cena.
Well, somebody in that company has to reach out to John and ask him to be part of WrestleMania. And that hasn't happened.
I don't get him. Well, I just counted. This is my fifth WrestleMania. My bad. Sorry.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Just use it as an example. It's okay.
Well, I just want to, you know, get the facts straight. I will say, though, the thing for Raw this past week, I thought the Beat the Clock, I actually thought the Triple H promo was good on Batista. I wasn't like heavily, I'm still not heavily invested in that match. And my favorite part of Raw was after Natty beat Sasha Banks one-on-one, and then the interference there with Nia Jax and why am I blanking on her? Jimmy Snuka's daughter, help me out.
Tamina?
Tamina, thank you. Yep. Comes out of the crowd. But then they show the formal announcement of Jim the Anvil Neidhart and Bret Hart, the Hart Foundation, getting inducted into the Hall of Fame. Very emotional segment there for Natty in the ring where she was tearing up. And I was actually, you know how close she was with the Anvil. And she's made that very clear. It's her dad. And, you know, that's a very special bond. And a father-daughter relationship is very, you know, unique. And I just, I kind of choked up a little bit when I saw that she got very upset there. So that was a really touching moment. I did enjoy that. I thought that was really cool. And some people I know that were in the crowd, like, that was awesome. That was, like, very bittersweet. So good for WWE to recognize the Anvil going into the Hall of Fame and the Hart Foundation, for that matter, too.
Of course, Hart Foundation, one of my favorite tag teams of all time.
They're great.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
So that is the bad of WWE.
Yep.
The good of WWE is SmackDown. And their build to WrestleMania, I feel like, has been awesome. The Kofi story, the U.S. title kind of being in transition throughout. Now Samoa Joe has it, which is awesome. The women have been good. The women are main eventing WrestleMania officially.
Yep.
They made a big deal out of that. They were on ESPN the day after.
Yep.
And Charlotte won the SmackDown Women's title, her eighth championship. Oh, I jumped for joy. Oh, it was so amazing. Charlotte won again. And as soon as she came out and Asuka came out, I went, no, they're not bringing me Christmas this early, are they? They're not giving me the potential of Charlotte holding two championships to end WrestleMania, are they? And she got the first one, Mike. Mike, yeah. She got the first one. She's an eight-time women's champion. She got the blue championship again. Oh.
Yep. Well.
Oh, it was tremendous. It brought me such joy and enthusiasm. When Asuka tapped out again to the figure eight, I jumped out of my office chair with a shriek of joy. Oh, it made my heart flutter, Mike. It was tremendous. Christmas for me. I was so joyed.
But were you surprised, though? You weren't surprised?
So I had been tipped off that something was happening on SmackDown and that I had to watch it. Okay. I mean, I watch it anyway because it's, one, I like the show, and two, it's the job.
Yeah.
I was told that, hey, something's going to affect the women's match tonight. You might want to watch SmackDown. I was like, well, of course I'm going to watch SmackDown. And then when Asuka came out, I go, oh, they're switching the title. Mm. Oh, this is good. This got interesting real quick. Yeah, and then they had an awesome match. It wasn't, I don't think it was as good as the WrestleMania match because they had the commercial breaks in the middle, but it was one of their better matches.
Well, you know, and that,
And so when Charlotte won, I went, oh, that's good. I jumped for joy, and then I enjoyed my Twitter experience for the next 90 minutes. Because Charlotte had been viewed as the third wheel of this match. She got shoehorned into it. Some people don't think she belongs there. I think she does belong there.
She might have. She may win both titles by the end of the WrestleMania. It could happen.
Oh, don't tease me, Mike.
No, I'm really serious. She might do that, and then you unify both of them. You could do that.
So I think that's something that is. I think that's probably something that's on the table. I don't think it is. I think that they are probably going to go the lazy route.
Becky.
And it's just for the Raw Women's Championship because that was the original scheduled match. But what they've done is they've said, okay, well, the SmackDown Women's Champion didn't matter because based on what Asuka's been doing and the amount of or the lack of emphasis put on her championship, they've put it on Charlotte and they're like, oh, look, this is how they view it because this is how ESPN viewed it. Ric Flair's daughter is also a champion going into this match.
Right.
And they have stacked the deck more against Becky Lynch, who is not as famous as she's famous with the hardcores. Don't get me wrong. She sells a ton of merchandise, right?
Yep.
But Ronda Rousey is the UFC fighter. She's got one title. Charlotte Flair is Ric Flair's daughter, and she's on pace to be, if she isn't already, the greatest female athlete in WWE history. And now you've got Becky Lynch, who's over with the hardcores, and she's the number one good gal in the company. And now she has to overcome the odds of two champions to win one championship.
Well, that's a great storyline on it, and I think that's essentially what they want us to believe when I say us, the fans and so forth, and that's the prediction what WWE wants, and I think it will happen now after seeing that with Charlotte winning that, Becky will take down the two champions, but from what I was told is that Asuka was never booked for WrestleMania. She was not even booked.
That's not true.
Well,
they had Lacey Evans penciled in for her.
Okay, now I'm just going to tell you what I was told. She was not booked for WrestleMania. And you ever hear the old saying of trimming the fat? You know, trim the fat a little bit here, cut down the matches. So now you can just throw Asuka and Lacey Evans in to the Women's Battle Royal right there. There you go. So that saves you another match right there instead of going to a crisis mode of potentially 17, because you can't have a week and a half to book her and Lacey Evans. It just wasn't working. If you were going to do that, you have to start that at least 2 weeks ago, maybe three, and it's not ready. No. So that's what's going to happen now. You get those two in the Women's Battle Royal.
My idea would have been you put, and I don't know if I said this on the air, if I sent a text message or whatever, I said it to somebody.
Yep.
You put the Women's Championship, the SmackDown Women's Championship, as the trophy for winning the Women's Battle Royal.
Sure.
And then that's a way that either Asuka retains.
Yep.
Or that's a way that you can crown a new champion and either switch somebody from Raw to SmackDown or have a new star made for SmackDown.
So
instead
now,
of the trophy that was mangled together at the last minute.
And what I think is going to be very interesting here, looking after WrestleMania, in the scenario of you have Becky win the Raw Women's title, Charlotte holds on to the SmackDown Women's title. I think with the superstar shakeup, we're going to be looking at like a hybrid situation where they can jump back and forth. And I think we're going to start to see that with the women's tag team titles, especially because that's going to be going back from Raw and SmackDown. You know what I mean? So I wouldn't be surprised if you see more overlap between the two shows and they make that more of a rule for the champions, because that's how it was essentially for the first ever brand split back in 2002, where the regular champion and the women's champion were on Raw and SmackDown, if you remember, very early. And then they had to bring back the world title to put that on Raw, and then the WWE championship went to SmackDown only. So, you know, that's how I think. I wouldn't be surprised if that were to occur. And then you have Becky and Charlotte maybe feud again down the line, maybe sooner than later.
Mike, that would be a short-term solution because Fox wants their own show.
Yeah.
Fox wants their own show. So you you can do that for the summer, but then once the Fox deal kicks in, you need to re-isolate and reestablish your brands, because that's what Fox wants. Fox wants their own show.
Fox is getting SmackDown, so you can just keep it that way. Keep the title on Charlotte for the long run here, and then cross-promote a little more.
Or give Charlotte both belts.
But I don't know for Fox, though.
So what would I do? And this might be Vince McMahon's way out of this. If you remember WrestleMania 2000, Kurt Angle was the Intercontinental Champion and the European Champion, the Eurocontinental Champion.
That was a disappointing WrestleMania.
Oh, I love that WrestleMania.
Oh, I hated it.
We'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
Chris Benoit versus Chris Jericho versus Kurt Angle. The first fall was for the Intercontinental Championship, and the second fall was for the European Championship. I would value the Intercontinental Championship a little bit higher than the European Championship.
Oh, absolutely.
The WWF wanted Chris Benoit as the Intercontinental Champion, but they wanted a happy ending to that match, so Chris Jericho ended up winning the European Championship. So the fans would get exciting. So this might be the Vince McMahon compromise. And I promise you, they haven't thought of this, but I have, unless it gets announced on Raw, in which case they have thought about it, or they stole it from me on the podcast or Twitter.
Go ahead, take it.
Yes, I am that self-centered. So for the triple threat main event of the Raw Women's Championship, you also put Charlotte's SmackDown Women's Championship on the line. And the first fall is for the Blue Championship. The second fall is for the Raw Championship. That way, Charlotte can beat Ronda in the first fall. She can retain her championship. She can retain the SmackDown Women's Championship and go for the Raw Women's Championship. That way, Vince gets to have Charlotte Flair say for the rest of her career that she gave Ronda Rousey her first loss in WWE. Then you can have Becky win the Raw Women's Championship. And the lasting image is Becky holding the Raw Women's Championship over her head, standing over Ronda or Charlotte, and that would give the fans the happy ending that they're looking for, as Becky Lynch is the Raw Women's Champion.
So I see what you're doing. You just essentially here, you're glorifying Charlotte Flair. That's all it is. For her career.
Yes.
For her resume. That's all it is.
Because I've been consistent in saying that long-term Charlotte should beat Ronda first. But short-term, Becky needs to walk out of WrestleMania as a champion.
Right, right. And I think that's the direction we're going in right now. I think that's what we're going to see.
The other thing you could do is you could have the first fall be for the Raw Women's Championship, and Charlotte wins that, and now she's in possession of both titles for the duration of the second fall, where Becky Lynch then wins the SmackDown Championship.
But let's be realistic here.
It's not going to happen because they haven't thought of it.
I'm
telling you what I would do to satisfy all the plans. Everybody. It's essentially like the NFL being parody. I'm trying to make everybody happy.
Well, yeah. And
or at least myself happy.
No, but I mean, you definitely could do that. It's just like, I don't think it's going to happen a week out. I mean, this should have been thought of at least, I don't know, the last
month or so. I don't know which Vince McMahon I like. Do I like the Vince McMahon that's texting during a terrible Raw show? Or do I like the Vince McMahon that is changing the finish of the WrestleMania 34 main event, and he's just saying in the earpiece of the referee, we don't know if this happened, this is rumor and innuendo, Brock is going over now. It's not Roman's night.
Yep.
So, I mean, which Vince McMahon do you want?
Give me the one that's calling the audible. That's what I want, because you're on top of the action. You're changing it last hurrah, to make the last hurrah there, everyone happy. And that's what you got to do. You got to go with the people that are paying your bills there in the end. Don't go for the lazy route. Go for the one that everybody is happy with. That's what you got to do.
You know, the other ultra conspiracy is it's a unification match and Ronda walks out with both belts.
See, I could see that too, but I don't know. I think that would be built up a little more. Like, Ronda would at least tell you, like, if I win this, I'm walking out. So you at least, you know, we don't know that yet. You know what I mean? And if she were you know, put it on the line. Say, if I win, I'm going to walk out with that belt. I want you to put that on the line, Charlotte, even though it's just for the Raw Women's Championship. I want both belts on the line. So that's what I think they'd have to do. But I don't think it's going to happen now at this point. It's not advertised.
But, you know, they waited until the last minute to put Kofi Kingston in the main event. So,
which was good
storytelling, because they needed something, because Seth Rollins, Brock Lesnar has no story.
No, it doesn't.
Because it's Seth Rollins yelling, burn it down every week. Like, cool. Yeah, and you're losing.
I haven't seen the Universal title. And, you know, I know he was on Raw last week or whatever, but I forget what it looks like. Totally forget. You know?
It's a beautiful championship. It's a beautiful red championship.
It's a strawberry daiquiri championship. That's all it is.
The good thing, though, is that Charlotte winning the women's championship has opened up more possibilities. It seems to have gotten a little bit more interest.
And of course,
I want Charlotte to win outright, right? That's not shy. But
no.
Becky should win because it's the right thing to do short term and send the people home happy at WrestleMania, which is something we haven't had since WrestleMania 30 in New Orleans.
Right. And also, too, for that matter, I saw on Twitter, I think it was actually the New Age Insiders put it out there, like they photoshopped Becky with the Raw title, Charlotte with the SmackDown, and then Sasha and Bayley come out with the women's tag team titles, you know, teasing the four horsewomen, all ending the show of WrestleMania 35 in New York. So I think that could very easily happen, too, where that sets up so much other possibility down the line where you have some sort of unification here beginning on that very night.
And the four horsewomen ending WrestleMania, that visual, this is the group that brought together the division,
right,
that took it to a different level, that changed how we look at women's wrestling.
Yep.
On the night where they're main eventing WrestleMania, even though it's the reason... I mean, the reason why they're main eventing is Ronda Rousey.
Yeah, no, it's true.
And it takes nothing away from what they've done, the groundwork that they've laid, but Ronda Rousey is the mainstream star, and Ronda Rousey is the reason why this is the main event of WrestleMania.
Cool. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Kofi Kingston is now officially challenging Daniel Bryan for the WWE Championship, which is awesome. Mike, the forum is yours to rip WWE for putting Kofi Kingston into the WrestleMania match and keeping him out of Fastlane. Go.
Why would I rip him? Rip them? Okay, I'll rip them for keeping him out of Fastlane. Yes. I thought
were upset that they took Kofi Kingston out of the Fastlane match.
Yes, I was, but I'm not upset that they put him in the
So you don't want to rip WWE?
No, well, I'm happy that they finally put him in.
No,
the
you
match
just don't
here.
Want to rip WWE. It's okay. I figured I'd give you the forum for it, and you don't want it.
Shut your mouth. Now
it's my podcast.
It's our podcast, whether you like it. Actually, you know what?
You know what, Mike? I just muted your microphone, so because I have that power.
Yeah, you jabroni.
Yes, I am number one. Thank you for confirming that.
Is this really still muted?
No, you're back up.
I think that it was a joke of what they did to Kofi Kingston at Fastlane, taking him out of there, because he earned that there from the Elimination Chamber match, and he was just so over. And I just thought, with everything happening last year with Vince McMahon calling that audible at WrestleMania 34, that you have Kofi win right there at the Elimination Chamber, where he would have, you know, blown the roof off of that arena there in Houston. That would have been awesome. And now I just fear that, you know, here he could have had his 2-month reign as champion, maybe even a little more. And you know what? I really hope he does win the championship at WrestleMania.
He will.
Okay. Okay. So I hope he does. But what I fear is that he's only going to hold it for at least a week or two. And I think he deserves longer. So that's why I was disappointed with them not putting him in the Fastlane match, where he should have been in Fastlane as the champion and then carry that into WrestleMania. He's earned it. And I think we could have more with him and Daniel Bryan over the last couple of months, more or less, or even the last few weeks, but that was kind of thrown away. So good storytelling. I get it. I think he should have been champion earlier before WrestleMania, though.
But what's more interesting for the build to WrestleMania? Kofi Kingston feuding with Daniel Bryan or Kofi Kingston feuding with Vince McMahon?
It's McMahon. That's all it is. And then you have the whole New Day and everything. And you know, I even talked to you about this before the show, and I'll say it right now. I there were articles going around there, potential race issue stuff on Forbes magazine. I didn't read the whole thing, skimmed through it. And you know, it's just, we're in a 2019 world where we don't need that. Like, it's I'm not sticking up for anybody here or whatever, or taking any sides, but I don't think that's an image WWE would want to portray. So you know, with the fact that Kofi is in there now, it's best for everyone involved, and good for him. He's earned it. He's a great wrestler, one of the best in-ring performers in the last decade.
Mike, you do realize that when Kofi Kingston wins, he's going to be holding up a title made out of hemp.
No, they're going to bring down another one, and he's going to hold that one up. I hope that, no, they don't. That title sucks.
I love the eco-friendly title.
Of course you do, because you're a nerd.
Yes, and I've made a lot of money being a nerd.
It sucks, Jimmy, and that title is garbage. The title sucks, and you know it. It's gross.
It's not gross. It's eco-friendly, it's beautiful.
No, it's garbage.
So during WrestleMania weekend, Mike,
put some kerosene on it and burn it.
No. During WrestleMania weekend, Mike, I am going to find a way to get a picture with the eco-friendly championship.
Good luck. Let me know when you do.
I will. In fact, after I make that happen, I'll put that photo on Twitter, and then I'll put a secondary photo on Twitter, and I'll tag you in it. And that way you'll know, since you don't usually respond to your text messages, you usually just respond to your tweets.
What are you talking about? What text message you sent me?
There was an issue a few months ago.
But I got back to it right away, though.
Yeah, and by the way, you helped me out.
Yeah, you helped me out that night. Yeah, we'll talk about that.
You were put over in a strong way, I would say.
Yes, I was. Yes, thanks, Jay Stu.
You're welcome.
You're a good wingman, Jimmy.
I do my best. So Mike texted me a question, and I responded pretty quickly to. He said we should talk about our top five WrestleManias of all time.
Yeah.
So I have my list. I will, because it was Mike's idea, I will give him the forum to go first. So what we're going to do is we'll run down our top five, and then we will expand upon our number one answer. Mike, go.
Okay, here we go. Number five for me was WrestleMania 17, regarded for many as the greatest of all time, but 17 was number five. My number four one was WrestleMania 10, Madison Square Garden. I just thought that the match with, I'm not going to go too much into detail, but the match I didn't touch on last week with our favorite matches was Bret Hart versus Owen Hart. I really enjoyed that one, and I watched it again this week. That's why it was a top five one for me. Number three was WrestleMania 13, just the beginning of the Attitude Era. The Austin Bret match was awesome. Really, the double turn, very hard to do. And I thought that was an overall good pay-per-view, considering where things stood at that time. Number two for me was WrestleMania 7. And my number one WrestleMania, because I was there, it'll be 21 years ago this Friday, WrestleMania 14 in Boston. March 29th, 98. You know, I said it last year, and I'll say it again. It's just, that was the official kickoff to the Austin era as a champion, first time winning. Last time we saw the Winged Eagle championship on the line. I know it made some sporadic appearances here and there, but that was it. Then the following night, that Attitude Era belt came out. But Stone Cold Steve Austin with Mike Tyson, you know, doing the three count there as a special guest enforcer after he stunned Shawn Michaels, and just the Undertaker Kane match, the dumpster match with the New Age Outlaws against Mick Foley, Cactus Jack, and Chainsaw Charlie. The Rock made his first time he ever said, you know, do you smell what the Rock is cooking there, against Ken Shamrock. Great pay-per-view. It was a great time to be a fan in 98 at that Attitude Era when it was at the height and really, you know, at the real propelling of the Attitude Era, I should say, when it was super hot, Austin 316 everywhere, DX was everywhere too. It was a great time, and that's why I think it's my favorite WrestleMania of all time, WrestleMania 14.
So my top five are, at number five is WrestleMania 5. My number four is WrestleMania 4. My number three is WrestleMania 28. That's the Miami one that was headlined by Rock and Cena, once in a lifetime, not twice in a lifetime. The CM Punk, Chris Jericho, WWE Championship match, the Triple H versus Undertaker, Hell in a Cell with Shawn Michaels as the referee. That was my number three. My number two was last year, WrestleMania New Orleans, WrestleMania number 34, which was on pace at one point to be the perfect WrestleMania. My number one of all time is WrestleMania 17. I picked that because top to bottom, I think that was the best WrestleMania of all time, and it was done in 4 hours. It had Austin Rock, Shane versus Vince, Taker versus Triple H, the TLC match with Edge, Christian, the Dudleys, the Hardys, Kurt Angle versus Chris Benoit. That show was just, that was loaded. And that why that is the reason why that is my number one favorite WrestleMania. And a lot of people consider that the greatest WrestleMania of all time. I won't disagree with it. It's my personal favorite one.
It's a good one.
So before we wrap up here, Mike, you wanted to plug an event that's coming up?
Yeah, coming up on Sunday, if you're around Sunday Fun Day up in New Hampshire, it is Injustice for Brawl 2 at the Everett Arena, Concord, New Hampshire. Meet and greet 2 to 4. Bell time is at 4 o'clock. Tickets in advance are $20, $25 at the door. On the card will feature the badass Billy Gunn, also NWA world champion Nick Aldis, right? Is that it?
Yep. Nick is a very good representative of the National Wrestling Alliance as their world's heavyweight champion.
All right, and he's putting his title on the line against Tommy Mack. Good guy, Tommy. And also on the card, Anthony Green from Chaotic. You know him there. And Tony Atlas, WWE Hall of Famer, will be there. And Mr. John Cena Sr., he'll be in attendance. So 2 to 4 is your meet and greet. Bell time is at 4 o'clock. InjusticeForBrawl.com. InjusticeForBrawl.com. Concord, New Hampshire on Sunday. There you go.
So next week, we will have Joe Murray as our third man in. He will give us the WrestleMania odds, some prop bets, and it'll be our official WrestleMania preview show. And no, we're not doing all 35 matches. we're going to pick a few select ones. My goal for next week is we'll pick the Raw Women's Championship match because that's the main event. Mike, you'll pick a match. I'll pick a match. We'll have Joe Murray pick a match. All three of those will be different, and we'll give picks on that. And then we'll throw a few prop bets at the world. We'll discuss those, and then we'll do a quick hit, and I mean quick hit, of the rest of the card as far as who goes, wins, and losses. Right. We're highlighting a few that interest us outside of the main event of the show, and we'll discuss those, and we'll do everything else rapid fire.
Well, that's the rules of my podcast. That's how we do it.
Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com and on the 98.5thesportshub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. For me, at I Am James Stewart on Twitter, the show's Twitter account is at WrestleCast985, and I will talk to you with Joe Murray next week.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.